good to know, mate. Well done. Aye, aye. What's that then? Oh, the high quality of this show. Hello, welcome to the Max Show. Yes, we're on Hangouts tonight because we've had a, if you've been watching before the start, then you'll know all about it. It's we've had an absolute litany of issues, and then I've had to put it on back 2 hours because of the show, and people have missed it because they haven't clocked the time change, and it's just all gone horribly wrong. And then Rickard was coming over to the studio with Greeny, and they've pulled out, so no one's at the studio, so I can't take the kids down, so I've got to stay home. Anyway, moving on. This week in soap. That's unreal.
Can be programmed on its own.
This is the Mac Show, I promise you. We are here to discuss Mac. We're wondering whether Doc's going to show or not, as usual. And we're wondering whether Adam's going to show or not, as usual. Well, no, not as usual, because he's normally here, isn't he? So, I mean,
he is.
Who knows what's going to... I mean, if anything could happen in the next 60 minutes. Joining me, top man, who's taken extra time off work to be here, and I thoroughly, thoroughly don't deserve your kindness and friendship, mate. Chuck Joyner, how the devil are you?
I'm great, Ewan. Yeah, the time zone got a little fouled up, and I'm not a Hangout user, so it took me a little while to get logged in, get everything loaded, but I'm
mate,
here.
Don't you do daylight saving next week?
I think, yeah, it's coming up in a couple of weeks. I'm not sure when. I think November, but yeah.
That's the worst time. Twice a year, it's just like, holy crap. Are we on now? No, we're on in an hour. And then the other, like, it's like, are we on now? No, we started an hour ago. It's coming.
Oh, by it's Christmas, coming. We'll all figure it out.
Well, we go back on the last week in October, don't we? Last weekend in October. So, the last weekend in October is about the 28th, isn't it? So,
yes, that's the 28th.
So, that's not too bad. So we go back on the 28th, yeah. So, glad to have you with us, mate. Thank you for joining us. I apologise for the rigmarole. Next to him, not in France, but still in a loft. What is it with you in lofts, boy?
I don't know. Obviously, I moved to a very, very old house. It's made of stone, which is lovely. In fact, it's just like my house in France, which is fabulous.
That are 3 feet thick but take a year to warm up.
Yes, and they've got, and it's single pane windows. So that's going to be fun this time of year, isn't it?
You're sitting there in a T-shirt. That's going to change.
Well, tell you what, though. We do have oil central heating and log burners here. So that is a step up from where I was in France, that's for sure. So I'm looking... I've just ordered our first amount of oil, which comes obviously in a big tanker. And it was something like £366 for 600 litres. And apparently that's very good, because in France, it's a euro per litre. So there you go.
So 600 litres?
Yeah.
How long are you planning on being there? Are you on a one-month contract for rent? It's just like, if I was your landlord now, I'd tell you to piss off and sell the oil.
We paid 6 months up front, and obviously, I think the first 2 months, we couldn't be here for that. We just thought we'd just, you know, top it up and see how long it lasts us.
Magic Man in the chat room couldn't resist the pun on a Bonnie Tyler song. And is that James Loft in France? That's pretty good, actually.
Brilliant. That might make
show title.
I'm trying to get... I can't get the chat room open. I don't know why.
It's IRC, mate. Just plays around. Keep playing while we talk to Patrice.
Good
hello,
to be here,
Patrice. How the devil are you, man?
Doing very, very good.
What is that drawn behind you there? It looks like someone started a phallus or something like that and then gave up. it looks like AVFC on there. Like it's a...
Well, technically, it's we try to explain how like patient and user interactions like interact in an office visit. Like
that's good. Based on that drawing, then that's good.
The user is going around, and like, that was the idea. Like,
there's nothing sensitive on that board, is there, by any chance?
No, I removed everything. Sorry. I made sure there's nothing.
How have you been, old boy?
Very good. I went to yoga for the first time on Wednesday and slept like a baby after that. So
yoga's
that
good.
Has been very good. yeah, I really enjoyed it. I can highly recommend that. So
I haven't done a lot of it, but the stuff I've done, I've really been impressed with and really enjoyed. So good old discipline.
Yes, that definitely. No, it's great. I mean, like I said, I enjoyed it. Came home after it, like after an hour. It's a good exercise as well. Like, I'm feeling it today a little bit.
And, good.
Came home, like, ate something, fell asleep, and slept for a good 8 hours. So,
lovely.
Awesome. The Week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on. We've got a few things to talk about, but I've got a question, actually, to throw at you guys. Has anyone noticed in iOS 12 that if you ask Siri to play you some music, so as in play some Coldplay, play some jazz, play some whatever, if you pick a specific artist, she plays you about 6 tracks and then repeats them. And I've got 3 Dave Lee Roth albums that are on Apple that I paid for. And I said the other day, play some Dave Lee Roth. And she could only play Ice Cream Man. She didn't play anything else, just over and over and over again. And I was just like, why aren't you going to Apple Music? And when you ask, hey, Siri, can you play some music for me? She seems to not go to Apple Music and play the catalog that's in Apple Music. And I don't know what she's playing, because I don't even own some of the tracks that she's played, but she only plays like half a dozen tracks and then repeats. Is that the same for everyone, or is it just me?
No, I've had the same issue.
Oh, really? I guess I never... I tell it what I want to hear, and it plays. Mm. I don't just say play, you know, David Lee Roth or whatever.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I tend to come downstairs and I'll just say, play happy music, play funky music. And I tend to not get any repeats or anything then. It just seems to go off. I normally say, hey, Squidgy, play happy music.
Yeah, no.
And that's normally good enough for me. It rolls through. It's fantastic.
Well, the thing is, if you're in the car, though, and you've started driving and you play, Siri, play some Coldplay, you get like 6 tracks repeating, and then you can't do anything, because it's like, well, actually, if I could open my phone and if I'd bothered to set up a Coldplay playlist, fair enough, or if I'd have opened it up. But you'd have thought if you say play some, she'd just start playing all the... we've got a message from Adam. Oh, shit. Yes. There you go. So Adam's coming.
Hey, Ewan, are you only having that experience, though, in the car? Because that might be it. If you don't have data turned on, it may just play whatever's cached, and that's it.
Yeah, no, we're 52 million people on a postage stamp here, mate, so we've got data pretty much everywhere.
No. I mean, turned on for your device. If you're not telling Apple Music to use mobile data, it may just be whatever happens to be cached in your
good
phone.
Point.
But I have the same issue with my HomePod.
Oh, it does it with your HomePod?
It does it with my HomePod.
Interesting, eh?
That's bad then.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I have to literally tell her to use a playlist from Apple Music for her to do it.
I'll try.
Mobile data is on, mate. So
it is. Okay. Well,
mobile data for Apple Music.
Yeah.
It's got its own little thing, isn't it? Just to.
I mean, Apple Music in settings and mobile data's on. So.
Okay. Yeah. That's it then. There you go. There's a radar ticket.
And I'm glad it's not just me, because I like raw chicken in restaurants and that kind of stuff. So I just thought it was me. Adam, we're just talking about the fact that if you say Siri, play me some music by an artist, you get like 6 tracks and then it just repeats. It doesn't give you the benefit of Apple Music. Is that hello, by the way?
Hey.
I just figured we'd kind of keep it smooth because you'd put, oh, shit. You don't get an intro. Should have come on time.
If they don't know who he is by now, they don't deserve to be here.
Well, that's true. Exactly. The Maccast. So we're just saying that if you put, if you say Siri play some and then you say an artist, she'll only play you like 6 tracks and then just repeat. And Patrice says he's had that on his... Well, agreed. Okay, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that.
He's got it, some, not all.
Because I usually say play music by and then the artist name, and then it gives me a radio station based on that artist, I believe, which is infinite.
It's the sun then, eh?
I don't know. It's just a theory.
That black-headed pit where he's teaching Baldrick to count, he's going, if I've got those beans and these beans, what have I got? It's you've got these beans and some over here. It's brilliant.
I don't know.
That's a good guess.
Siri logic. We got to get into Siri logic, I guess, is what we're delving into. And who knows what that mind is.
We've only got an hour. Sorry, Chuck, you were saying something sensible.
No, it's just that's an interesting point, because, I mean, literally, Siri may be interpreting you literally. Play some.
Yeah.
And some somewhere has been defined as six tracks. But was that what you were having the same thing, Patrice, that you play some and that's what you get?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't count the tracks, but I just noticed that she was, like, playing the same tracks and repeating them.
It's a high repeat ratio. Let's use that term instead of six tracks. But it is literally six tracks, I think.
Yeah, I believe what happens when I say bye is she says, okay, here's a radio station I've created of music from whatever the artist is. I forget what the response is. But
okay, so I'm going to do it now on my phone. I'm just going to mute myself while I do it, because otherwise we're not used to pissing people off. I'll just carry on.
I just gone into dictionary and I just typed in some, and it just says number one, an unspecified amount or number. So unspecified.
All right, hang on a second. Talk amongst yourselves.
Well, that's easy. What a chat show.
What is he playing?
Yes. Yeah, which artist is he choosing?
Yeah.
In fact, Adam, what do you normally say to your HomePod when you want to play music? I was just saying that I tend to come down and say, play happy music, and it seems to just do it, and I'm happy with
that. It'll do moods. Yeah, I typically I will do, it just depends on the mood I'm in. So there's some playlists. I like a lot of the auto playlists that it creates. So the new Friends playlist I use a lot. I use the new music mix a lot to find new artists. And a lot of times if there's a new artist on there, then I'll do that. Apple, for almost all their artists, also does there's like three or four standard playlists. There's influences, which would be music that artist has defined that has influenced their tracks. So if there's an artist that I like, I'll play their influences mix. There's also the essentials, which is like their top hits, if you just want the top hits from that artist. And then there's also deep cuts. So there's a thing you can say, play this artist name deep cuts, and that goes deeper into like their back catalog and those sorts of things. So I use those a lot.
So
it's
I've just done a huge mix. I've just done your experiment, and instead of saying some, I've said play music by, and she didn't say anything else other than here you go. So there was no like I've created a station for you or anything like that. I'm just wondering whether, I don't know, because the thing is when I open Apple Music up, that's the track that's the current playing track, but I don't know if it's Apple Music that's playing it or whether it just recognizes that's what the phone's playing. I'm a bit lost, really. If you've had the same problem, then feel free to write in and tell us, and we'll forward it all on to Tim.
And I'll mute myself, and I'll try, and I'll see what... Yeah. But maybe the HomePod's different in some way. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting that Patrice has had the same problem as I've had on the HomePod, though.
Yeah. I've had another issue with the HomePod since I upgraded to iOS 12. Siri sometimes doesn't understand me. Like, I stand in front of the thing and I say, hey, Siri, like, stop or do this and that. And she doesn't even react, doesn't blink, does nothing. And I have to repeat it like two, three times until she finally gets around to it. So I'm not sure what's going on there. See, but it started with iOS 12, so I'm guessing it's a bug.
It's an iOS 12 thing, yeah.
So she did say, here's a personalized station by, and the artist name on my HomePod.
Oh, that's interesting.
And if I were to go into my music history in iTunes, it will show, you know, that radio station. And I don't think the radio stations have a defined number of tracks. I think it just plays a bunch of music from that artist, from what I remember.
So Siri's got a personality, and her personality doesn't like me or Patrice.
Yep. That's all I'm thinking. Well, Patrice, I'm assuming you're using the US iTunes store now?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I didn't know if maybe there, I mean, there's also the whole weird licensing issues that Apple runs into with Apple Music too. So, I mean.
Definitely on the US store, so.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Magic Man, you bastard. Lady with taste, he says.
Thanks. Oh, yeah, I don't know. That's odd, but I have a feeling that word some. Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see if you use, even though it didn't say I'm creating a personalized station, it'd be interesting to see if you get more tracks if you leave that word some out of the command.
I just started one, so I'm watching it. I have it completely muted, but I'm watching and seeing what happens, how many tracks are
in. Also, if it's in, if you should be able to look at the upcoming list, and you should be able to see how many tracks are in there.
Yeah, good point. So. Mm-hmm. I'll have another play later on while we're talking.
Or what's either upcoming or up next, I think is what they call that list.
Yeah.
All right. We'll have a mess while we're doing this, and then we'll come back to it at the end. In real news, in shit that matters, Stockholm Apple Store is not coming.
Wow.
And the thing is, they've got some renders of it, and it looks bloody gorgeous. It looks an absolutely lovely thing. But apparently, the local residents have pushed back. There was previous city council had approved the plans. However, local residents have said no, they don't want it because it's in an area where there's a popular gathering space for concerts, events, and other activities. And the new city council has assured the residents that it will not be built.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I wonder if this goes down, you don't often hear this. Most people, most city councils welcome Apple with open arms. I mean, let's face it, the rents around the areas that an Apple store is generate huge amounts of money, and shopkeepers are normally happy because there's this massive Apple store. It's a magnet for people. And, it's very rare that I think it's probably one of the first times I've actually heard it not actually going to, or possibly might not happen. I'm sure lots of people want it to happen. As I said, the architecture alone is something to behold these days.
Reminiscent of the Chicago store, if you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there was huge pushback on one of the Australian stores recently from the community, and it was approved. And it had to do with it going into an area, if I'm remembering right, that had a specific kind of architecture. And so the concern was that the architecture wasn't in line or matching. And I know they also completely redesigned a store because there was pushback from the architecture, but that's about the deepest I've heard. I haven't heard from anyone successfully stopping an Apple store being built other than this recent one.
Federation Square in Melbourne, that was.
Yeah, that was the one that was sort of controversial, and I don't even know if it's done yet.
Maybe they're really upset because this is being built on the site of a current TGI Fridays.
I think the Apple store looks better than the TGI Fridays.
Yes.
Yeah, but
it
doesn't taste as good. You just, if there was people in there spinning Macs, it might be better.
Someone already bit into that apple, so.
Yeah. Yay, there you go.
That's a good. He's blocked on the panel already. Good.
It was the Melbourne one that had to get redesigned, too.
Mm. Yeah. It says here that they're not sure. Apple hasn't responded, and it's unclear whether they're going to accept the decision or continue to push forward with the plans based on the fact that they had previously had agreements from the. I'm not even going to start to try and read out the name because I'll get emails. Where's Robert Fault when you need him? I don't know. Is there? Because you would have thought if it's like a Waitrose or something in Britain, which is a high-quality supermarket over here, supposedly. But you'd have thought if you were bringing an Apple store to a region, let's say that Castle Bromwich had plans for an Apple store, I would be over the moon. that there was an Apple Store coming. As long as it didn't start people parking on my street and blocking my driveway.
Yeah.
Very. But so what's the kind of what's the tipping point, if you like, where an Apple Store goes from being a boon to being a pain in the ass?
I think it depends on a little bit on the community and also depends on the space. I mean, if what the article says is true, that it was actually an event space, I mean, those spaces are rare in, like, especially in bigger cities, like big areas where you can have like festivals or concerts or any kind of event. And like if Apple goes in and takes that away from the community, I can see people being upset because, I mean, where do those events then go?
Yeah, but there was already a TGI Fridays there.
Is the concern that they're putting the store where the event space was, or just that because it's an event space, having the Apple Store there will cause too much traffic, disrupting the ability to have events or events that might, like, is it just typically when these things happen, the concern is it's like too much traffic, too much people in this, you know, we've already got an event space here and now we're going to have all these Apple people here and it's just too much, like, overuse in an area. Because I would think that Apple would fully support, if there's an event area already there, they would probably be even willing to adjust their design to facilitate that it continue to be an event space, you know, knowing their sort of support of the arts. Like, well, I think they would work with this.
I think that would depend. I mean,
bastard. Sorry, I'll come back to why I'm calling him a bastard. Go on. Sorry, Patrice.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would depend. I definitely can see Apple embracing, like, speed metal concert or something there, or like the annual meetup of the Hells Angels or something like that. I definitely think that would be a little bit difficult with Apple. Like,
I'm not talking about in the store. I'm talking about
even outside,
leaving an area that where the store is not disrupting what was already in that space. I mean, they're pretty good about trying to make sure that their designs fit in with with the community. And that's, again, I think why they redesigned the Melbourne store, because a lot of people didn't like how it was fitting in with Federation Square. I mean, the original design, I sent a couple of images to you, and the one first one kind of looked like, almost like a Japanese pagoda or something like that.
Yeah.
And they sort of have redesigned it to be a little more.
Yeah. Apple is usually pretty good at creating something that stands out but still fits in.
Right.
Yeah, maybe they just wanted, because you would have thought Apple could bring stars down to where they are to do the performance, but then maybe all the people watching would look around and there'd be a CD in their pocket they hadn't asked for.
Or Kanye would be up on a table.
Yeah.
Giving a keynote.
Normally I'd say if you want to follow the links, go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, but don't click on the link that Deep Pan's put in, because it's the Swedish chef from the Muppets, because he said it was a spokesman from the city talking about it. When I clicked it, he absolutely got me. He's put down his channel in Muller, which is the last thing we need is two of them.
I don't know. I mean, I could, like, in Germany, I could totally see this going where people are like, we don't want change. We don't want more people around here. I mean, I see that a lot with like even malls, like cities are trying to build malls and people push back because they don't want more people around. But I'm not sure that's a Swedish thing.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of is that for whatever reason they felt that this was going to be just so much more traffic, either foot traffic or auto traffic, that they don't want that interfering with maybe the parking or the ability to get to the event space.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm kind of feeling,
That could be it. In other news, there's a new Apple store here in Phoenix that I visited last week. It just opened a week and a half ago.
Some pictures, yeah.
And it's a smaller one, obviously, but it's like based on the new like design with trees and very open, and it's mass. I mean, like at least height-wise, it's a massive space. It's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know how much of that is true, but one of the employees told me that they actually studied the movements of the sun for 90 days and then had a company in Dubai design a store that wouldn't like overheat and like wouldn't need crazy amounts of AC to keep it like cool in the crazy weather that we have here in the summer.
No, I mean, that's a valid process. There's a building in Birmingham, or Wolverhampton, I think it is. I think it's a Canon building. And it faces, that when they designed it, they put this thing up with a sloping roof or sloping glass outer area. Mm-hmm. And it faces south. And the atrium that the sloping glass roof goes to, it goes all the way down to the bottom of the building. Mm-hmm. There's a seating area for a coffee place. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it gets the sun all day. So the guy that was the facilities manager there ended up putting up bunting inside the window to try and break up some of the heat that was coming in from it. They had 120 degrees Fahrenheit in the in the atrium at the bottom when the sun was at full boil.
Jesus, that's Phoenix weather.
Because it was a sloping glass roof, they couldn't clean it. Yeah. And it was completely disregarded the premise of good design. Yeah. I think that's a really good thing that they've done that with the one that you were
Phoenix. Yeah, I would believe they would do it because of their environmental initiatives also.
Yes, and they made this mistake here. There's another store up in Scottsdale that was the previous flagship store here. And they forgot that. So that thing is crazy hot in the summer. So
Scottsdale's where all the golfers live, isn't it?
Yes. Well, that's technically, cool. Yeah. It's the entire valley now. But yeah, Scottsdale is where most golf courses are, I think.
Yeah. I've played Scottsdale, the course. Which on one? PGA Tour 1993, I think, or something like that.
Okay.
I had some of the other week. We're talking at London, and we're talking about the Battersea Power Station, and the chimneys have been taken down and put back up. Mm-hmm. They said, "Oh, it's a shame about the chimneys going down." I said, "I've flown a Spitfire between those," and they went, "Really? Yeah, I've flown a Spitfire between those in Microsoft Flight Simulator."
Yeah, just. I mean, Ewan, there are, I think, almost 200 golf courses here. So if you say you've done Scottsdale, it's like.
No, TPC at Scottsdale is mm-hmm. the tour course. Well, yeah. It used to be the big place, definitely, where mm-hmm. couples and all that lot played.
Yeah, I think it still is. There's a big, like in March every year, there is Phoenix Open here. And that's crazy. Like a lot of people come here.
Yeah. Stadium courses, they build them for the purpose. So. Mm-hmm. Apple is planning to launch a new clear case for the iPhone XR, and it's $40. And I've got to say, reading this story, I was kind of like, it's just a bit of punched out plastic, for Christ's sake. $40, you're having a laugh. And then I realized I coughed at $40 for this.
And it's tremendous.
Fact, it's worse. It's worse. I coughed at £40 for this. And I'm just looking at it going, you moron. Because I actually coughed up £10 for a way better case for my phone. That means I can put it face down without scratching the front. So I think no one's waking up smelling the coffee with this. I don't know.
It's that thing. We know, obviously, when Apple makes something, you know, it is more than what it appears on the front. You know, and I've sold my fair share of cases over the years that I've worked for Apple. And I would say these days, the third-party manufacturers are getting very, very good at their job. And I mean really good. I've currently got the mouse one. And this is a UK company. And this is the one.
You bought a sideboard for your iPhone.
No, I guess it's wood. Yeah. But you know what?
Have you got beeswax for it or something? No, I haven't. If you put a scratch in it, do you have to call the local French polisher?
It matches my sideboard, you're right. But you've got
a decanter in there with some whiskey glasses, haven't you?
My wife does take the mickey that the fact that it does look like a sideboard. It's true. You're not the first person. But, you know, that's a UK company, and they attend Apple stores, and they put the phone in on launch day, and they'll throw it around the Apple store just to show off how good their case is. And I think it was about £38. So, and you're getting a lot of protection. You get a front screen thing on it as well. So not to take anything away from Apple when it comes to design, I think you've got to kind of look at this piece of plastic and go, right, well, what have they done to it? What are you buying, essentially? Because obviously allowing the radios to work effectively, that's one of the big things when it comes to cases. And certainly one of the things we talk about when we're selling those with Apple is, you know, it's not just a piece of plastic, it's actually been tested for being dropped and allowing the radios waste to come through it as well.
Yeah, and I mean, you're also paying for like the marketing and like the Apple logo on it. I mean, it's kind of like the accessories that car manufacturers are selling. I mean, you're buying a water bottle for like $100 and it's probably worth $5. But I mean, there is a, like, I don't know, BMW logo on it or whatever brand you want to pick.
Well, look at the Apple Watch bands. I mean, it's the same thing. You know, some of them deserve the price because they are higher quality or have something. But you see a $40 watch band, you see a $10 watch band, and you can't tell the difference.
I have the, I mean, I use the Apple leather case on my iPhone, and I love it. I'll probably never have anything different. It just wears so well, and I have them for, you know, the life of the phone, and they look great from start to finish. And same thing with, you know, a listener got me this nylon Apple watch band, and it's, you know, the Apple branded one. And what I've loved about it is I've had to just clean it a couple times and it doesn't fray. It looks like brand new every time I clean it. It's like it just came out of the box. And I know if I had a cheaper nylon, you know, just nylon woven band from some third party, there's good odds that it's not going to hold up that well. You know, that this one has not frayed. It has not come apart. You know, the seams are all good. So
the other thing,
quality level.
Your camera's disappeared as well, by the way, Adam.
Sorry. Oh, he's back. The other thing with like Apple accessories is if there's any issue with it, you just go to the store and they replace it. I mean, I've done that with like those smart covers a couple of times where they just fell apart like after a year, and they didn't even ask for like when I bought it. They were like, "Oh no, that shouldn't happen. Here's a new one."
Well, well done for talking up a 10 pence piece of plastic to 40 quid, mate. Top
job. Well, look, you know,
Apple's marketing team right in front of me.
Yeah, but you know, I'm testament.
They should hire us.
I mean, I'm on my, you know, on my fourth MacBook Pro now, aren't I? You know, and every time I've had a problem with it, to be fair to Apple, they've given me a new one. I'm now on what was a 2016 MacBook Pro. I'm now on a, you know, the top 2018 model. So that's not bad, is it? I've gone from 2016 all the way through to 2018. You know, so that's fantastic as far as I'm concerned.
Still got a 2-year warranty.
And I've still got a 2-year warranty. But you know what? I would say at this point, we're talking about Apple, this 2018 MacBook is fantastic. It is quieter. The keys are quieter. It is running superbly. I can't, honestly, I'm just loving it. I don't want to jinx it, but it feels like a new computer. It's brilliant.
Yeah,
40 quid for the Apple logo, says Magic Man.
Yeah, more or less.
That's what you're buying, most definitely. Yeah. James, I haven't seen that wood texture since Terry and June in the 1970s.
Oh,
on the
come on, look, it's beautiful. I mean, I had a choice of carbon fiber and I had a choice of cherry wood.
And you went for teak.
Well, yeah.
Or is it mahogany?
I think it's mahogany.
Mahogany, it looks mahogany, yeah.
It's lovely, I tell you what. That's beautiful. I mean, I have dropped this phone many, many times. It's an iPhone 10, so you know you want to protect it. I have dropped it many times, but I tell you what, I'd recommend Mouse to anybody. What a great company, English company, British, you know, British made, and they've done a cracking job on it. It really is fab.
So the reason the reason you've got that is to cut down on theft, because when you pull that out of your pocket, they think cigarette holder full of woodbines, don't they?
It does look like a snuff box. That's something made in jail.
Jesus Christ, dude, how much snuff do you take?
I'll go for the carbon fiber when I get the new iPhone XS2 or whatever it's called. Hey, on the back of this, I have seen the new iPhone 2S Max yesterday. And, yeah, what a phone. It's a big chunk of glass, that is, isn't it? Really big chunk of glass.
It's gorgeous.
It is my friend's from the global.
That's what you and that's what you have, right?
Yeah, I have the 256 S Max, and it's beautiful. It is absolutely stunning. I really enjoy it. I think the camera's not as big a leap as I wanted, but it's a good leap, and I'm getting there with kind of rationalizing what it does and playing around with it in Photoshop afterwards. But the screen is just stunning. absolutely certain. Face ID for Apple Pay. Oh my god,
just brilliant. I would say that the reason why I didn't go for the upgrade this year, probably the first time in my life, is the fact that the camera wasn't an upgrade for me from the iPhone 10. You know, it just doesn't justify me spending that money this year, to be honest with you. And as much as I wanted to, with all the bokeh effects that you can do, etc.
It's depth of field
effects. Let's just call them depth of field.
Okay, depth of field.
Sorry for being a pedant, but the upgrade isn't from the 7 to the 10. The upgrade is from the 10 to the S Max. I think you would have got an upgrade on the camera.
Do you think so?
I went from a 10 to a 10S, and I feel the camera's much better, yeah.
Same regular daily
snapshots. There is a noticeable improvement. Does everybody need it? No.
There's a noticeable improvement, and am I wrong that the cameras in the XS or 10S and 10S Max are the same? I mean, there was no difference.
Yes.
By the way, an update to an earlier thing. I'm on track number 9 now, and it's playing away. So, sorry, Ewan.
Okay. It's just raw chicken in restaurants, mate. It's just me.
Yeah, it's just you.
Just me. That's all there is to it. Nothing I can do.
It might, again, could it potentially be the artist in the number of tracks that are available for Apple in the catalog, too? I mean, there's weird things where certain tracks are just not licensed, or they lose a license, or, like, stuff happens.
Coldplay in the UK should be
huge. Oh, yeah, that should, yeah. Should be.
Yeah, or your personal station, like, your personal station should have enough tracks.
Uptake of iOS 12 is now 53% of active devices, so that's up a few percent from last week.
Such a bogus number. I'm sorry. I hate this story because Apple is so forceful about making people upgrade. Like, people upgrade when they don't want to upgrade. Like, you're not given a choice. You're told. So it's such a fake number. I mean, it's great. It is great that people upgrade and that they can upgrade and all that stuff. Like, I'm not trying to detract from that, but, like, this is a stat that gets thrown out in our community. It's like, you know, to show iPhone superiority to Android is a bit disingenuous because
they
clunk you over the head. Yeah, they hit you over the head with it. Upgrade, upgrade, upgrade. You talk to anybody and it's like they nag you to death and you're like finally like, okay, fine, I'll upgrade. Yeah.
Or you have people like my mom, they just get the notification, they're like, yeah, let's upgrade. They've been trained to like just hit yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Don't
you think it's pushing, they push it because the developers want to have the new things to develop for?
Sure.
I don't think it's a bogus number. It's just they incent you strongly to upgrade.
The comparison is the bogus part.
Yeah, the comparison, like saying, oh, we have a better upgrade because our operating system is better. That's not why. Yeah. That's not why they have a better upgrade. Yeah. They have a better upgrade because they push it on people.
Well,
more. It's more of a marketing thing than a
definitely
users.
I mean, there's also the updates being even available for Android phones part.
Correct.
Still to this day, unfortunately. But yeah, it's still. I agree. Like, it doesn't tell you anything.
Yeah,
it doesn't tell you whether it's good or bad. It's like just people upgrade.
Yeah, that's my point. Is like a lot of people try to use it as like, oh, it's a better operating system, or there's some, and it's that number is not. That's not what that's about. It's just that people do upgrade because it's easy and they push it.
And Apple takes away the ability for you to downgrade. So even if you upgrade and you're not happy with it, you can't because they take away the keys.
That's true too.
Yeah. That is a problem with the rollback thing. Particularly, I don't mind it so much on an iOS device because it's a closed environment where you got no peripherals attached and that kind of stuff, but where you've got other, especially where you've got things like sound cards or video capture devices, that kind of stuff, you really want to know that if you do upgrade, it's going to work. And when it doesn't, it's a hell of a job to get back to where you were.
Is it really? I mean, I would say on the Mac, it's easier. You can always install the old OS.
No, because the problem is then you haven't got the old OS. Unless you're sensible and you kept a copy when it first came out on a disk, you haven't got the old OS. So.
They're all available for download now in the App Store. You can go into your purchases and download and install.
Will they let you download it and reinstall it, or have you got to download it, make an image of the disk, and then install it?
I think it just runs like it would. You can reinstall it.
So you just double-click it, and it runs, and it rolls back.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I know that the recovery mode, I mean, you can even, like, on, like, recent Macs, there's a special key combination where it installs the OS that the Mac came with.
Oh, so that's true.
Even if it's an old one, that works definitely.
Okay, good point. Apple has acquired Danish startup Spectral. I thought this was really interesting.
Yeah, it is.
They've got a technology that allows for real-time green screen, which is effectively means, I mean, the image that they've shown here is a picture of a girl stood next to an elephant, and they haven't done their white balance very well because it looks horrific. But but the idea of cutting yourself out of a general background and it intelligently knows that it's a person is pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, Apple does these acquisitions all the time. Them,
gosh, for Christ's sake, mate.
Yeah. Well,
the story's not about Apple buying a company. The story's about the technology.
Yeah, but the problem.
And what Apple's going to do with it.
I was just going to say, the problem is that they're going to build it into clips, and that'll be the end of it.
Oh, no.
Ouch. Ouch.
That's the problem.
The thing is, you don't know why Apple acquired that company. Is it really for the technology? Is it for people? Is it for the product? I mean,
that's the whole point of the show, mate. Otherwise, if we didn't
their driverless cars don't hit people, they'll be able to tell what's a person, not a background.
For example, you don't know.
I thought it was going to be some guff with AR or something like that.
It could be FaceTime.
I mean, they back in the day, wasn't it iChat or something where some app where you could basically replace the background?
Photo booth. You remember the roller coaster?
You can do it in clips too, and you can do it in, you know, but none of them are very good. So that's my joke about clips, is they're just going to take the technology and use it to make that feature in clips better.
I mean, you know, coming from the sort of 3D background I'm sort of from, you know, we call this in the industry rotoscoping, where you take somebody and you rotoscope them out of an existing scene and then put into another one. And that process obviously got cheaper over the years. I mean, when After Effects did it was a laborious, horrible, long-winded, CPU-intensive thing that would take hours to do. And in Apple Motion, you kind of still have to do that manually, believe it or not. But there's loads of plugins that now do it for a lot cheaper. When I heard this, I was like, damn, you know, the technology's got to that point now where they've got so clever with it, they can pretty much paint, you know, roughly around your figure, and it just does it automatically. And that's in After Effects right now. You can pretty much do that in After Effects right now. This technology must be taking it one step further, which just says, oh, yeah, you're a person, and we're going to automatically take you out. So for the music industry and sort of TV, you know, if Apple are going to do TV shows and things like that, it'll certainly help their After Effects department, you know, their 3D effects department, no end. But, yeah, the technology is obviously extremely clever, but I've watched that technology come down in price drastically over the years.
I'd forgotten about Photo Booth doing it.
I'd forgotten about photo booth.
Well, okay,
fair point. In general.
Hey, the photo booth, the app is still there and it still works just like it always has.
But this is going to be a nice addition to the Photos app on the Mac or on the iPhone. And you know it'll work its way down there. So if they can buy it, make it even simpler or better than it is. I mean, one more thing that your built-in app can do to your photos. Mm-hmm.
I honestly think it could be, I think they plan to apply it in multiple areas, and I no doubt they're going to use some of that engineering talent and that technology in their driverless car project. Hmm. Right? Because that's a big problem for driverless cars right now. A lot of them can't tell the difference between a person and things in the background, and, you know, for avoidance technology.
At least not if you're only using cameras.
Yeah.
Like with other systems, it's totally doable.
Right, but I mean, and having another layer that's the camera system and being able to detect people in real time could be significant.
Yeah.
Agreed.
No, there's probably another area, like Face ID, for example, like separating the person from the background, stuff like that. I can see a lot of areas. It's just I'm usually not too excited about like Apple acquiring companies because you never know. I mean, Workflow was a good example where they acquired it and actually used the people and technology to, like, did something good with it. There are a million other examples where they just disappear. Like the company disappears and you never really know.
You assume they disappear, but it's more you don't know where they're applying that technology and
that
engineering talent. It's a black box once they're in there. You don't know.
That's what I mean. Like, they're definitely in there, and I'm guessing they're doing good work. We just don't know where, and it's not obvious. Like, it's not, oh yeah, that is this technology that this company developed.
Right.
You just think that, you know, they get this technology and they can do something super cool with it, and then all they do is for separating emojis or emoji backgrounds or there's some.
Yeah.
Well,
why don't you make a phone call like you were against emoji. The Golden Gate Bridge, for God's sake.
Better the emoji.
The other thing I was going to comment on is sometimes a lot of that stuff is in long-term development and there's shorter-term stuff that they can roll out right away. So you might see it show up in emoji, you know, a year later. But really what you don't know is that's an experimentation project for something deeper that they're working on, you know, that's a bigger feature that they need to make sure is like rock solid before they roll it out. So, you know, I think that's the problem is these companies get acquired, they're doing work out in the public and we know what they're up to. They get absorbed into Apple and then everything goes dark for many years. Like, I mean, a great example is all the mapping technology companies that they acquired. I'm sure they're all working on this new version of Apple Maps with the Street View stuff and the car mapping technology, but we're not going to see that for, you know, another year or two. And they've already been working on that for 2 or 3 years. So they've gone dark for, you know, 3 years on that.
Or it's just rolling out so smoothly and incrementally that they don't make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
Sorry. Cool technology, cool story. They bought it, and then they kill it. Okay. In China, Apple has registered. I can't find the story now. I had it a second ago, and I've lost it. But in China, Apple has registered two Bluetooth devices. Two new iPads and a Bluetooth device.
Is it a mini HomePod?
Ooh. Apple registers two new iPad models and a Bluetooth device.
HomePod wouldn't be Bluetooth.
No.
It has Bluetooth.
Mini. HomePod Mini. Put in your pocket.
HomePod does have Bluetooth 5.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Hmm. AirPods?
Oh, good one.
The Wi-Fi AirPods.
The
chargeable ones, I mean, as in the chargeable iPods.
It could be the charging case, which would have Bluetooth built into it. Yeah.
Mm.
That's much more likely.
Chat room just said Apple Pencil 2.
Yes, that would make sense.
Another option.
Yeah. Mm.
Apart from putting a rubber on the end, what are you going to do with Apple Pencil 1, though? It kind of does what it says on the tin, and there's no...
Well, it's interesting. What are we missing from a pencil now? We've obviously got the fact that we've got the gradients in pressure. We've got the angle of brush. Who else is using that and thinking, I wish it had X, Y, Z? Maybe it could be the fact there might be a rubber on the end.
Well, in my opinion, it's also almost the same thing with AirPods, too. It's like, what more... do they need to do that they don't do? I don't know. I can't even imagine.
I mean, obviously some people would say that the audio quality is not that great on an AirPod. That's I certainly wouldn't say that. It's more than adequate. Well, I'd say it's better, but they're fantastic for the purpose.
Longer I'm sure battery somebody... life, what most people say. Like, I wish battery life.
Battery life. It's the only thing I can imagine. Like,
maybe
small improvement on the like processing, so it can do a little bit better, like signal processing, microphone stuff, battery life.
Some people want noise cancellation, and not just noise cancellation, but it'd be cool if it was adjustable or, you know, a toggle on or off kind of noise cancellation, so you can get it when you want it. So
I think that's a good, that's some good thoughts for sure.
But yeah, the pencil, I'm with you. I'm like, I love my Apple Pencil, and it kind of works exactly as advertised, and it has enough pressure sensitivity. It has enough tilt, and I don't know what else you'd put on it. The flip around and have that be another function where it, you know, you can use it as an eraser, that'd be neat.
It's one, I tell you what, again, you know, sort of the experience of being in the store, if you like, for such a long amount of time, is it was the natural thing everybody did when they picked up the pencil was to flip it over and then try and rub out something. Then they kind of look at me and go, oh, it doesn't do that. And I'm going, no. So I think when you call something a pencil, we all time you think there's that rubber on the end. It was sort of
we need to just specify rubber and eraser for the American listeners.
Oh, yeah.
There's no condom on the end of this thing.
Yeah. It was always pink as well, wasn't it? Why was it always pink? Oh, you should get a white one. But, yeah, I think that's, again, seeing general public being presented with an Apple Pencil for the first time, handing them an iPad, and then watch them gleefully, you know, draw something and then automatically flip over to erase what they've done. I mean, I dare say Apple saw a lot of that. I thought, well, maybe that's something we could do in a future one.
And the the other thing that a lot of people want from a new Apple Pencil, and I don't, but, you know, there's still that contingent that thinks the Apple Pencil should work with the iPhone, and specifically now that you have the massive XS.
So. And the fact, you know, some people want it to be like a Cintiq as well, so have that little rocker switch enabling you to, you know, jump forward and jump back, maybe, or be able to have programmable keys on it. Things that, you know, you and me would say would probably get in the way of the design of a pencil, but again, that's a lot of things people would want from it, especially graphic designers, but maybe that market's already well catered for.
So, an Apple Pencil 2 that would seamlessly transition between your iPad and your iPhone, some people might be interested in. Sort of like the AirPods.
Yeah. Did you see today in the news they had that company's made the little case for the AirPods, and it's $50. And it's sort of
the diaper one? The one that I said looks like a nappy?
It does. Well done for the correct use of the term nappy.
But you know what? That's really interesting. So we've already thought of that and thought, you know, we can, if we're quick enough, we can get that out of this design. I think it's really clever. I mean, I'm not that worried too much about wireless, but I think it's clever that somebody's thought that far into it and actually got something out. And I think it'd be hugely successful.
I have gone from what the hell do I want wireless for I don't want a port on the bottom. There's no point. Just give me wireless. And if they can do some data over wireless as well, if I did need to do that, then fantastic. But I don't know that I'd need that. But you know, as a contingent for the plugging in option, is what I'm saying. So for like presentations or something, you could put a wireless coating on that would then be allowed you to present if you, for some reason. I don't know. But I would quite happily now have half a dozen wireless charging pads scattered around the house and just walk past and toss my phone on it or put my AirPods on it for a quick charge. I love G-chargers. Yeah. I've got two in the kitchen. I've got one in the kitchen. I've got one in here. I've got one upstairs in my room. So by the bedside. Yeah. And
great.
I've got two down the office. So
I've got one on my car now and I love it.
Did you go?
Yeah, I've got one in the car.
I mentioned this one in one of my picks. It's still fantastic.
You weren't here last time when he was raving about it.
Well, the difference is with the Senio one. So I've got the Anker one, and I've got the Senio one as well.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing with the Senio one is the placement accuracy is zero. I've put my phone on it upside down and it started charging. Yeah. I've put it on landscape and it works just fine. Yeah. Whereas the one, the Anchor one, I have put it on slightly off and it's gone, it's been flashing blue and saying, no, I'm not charging. And I've never had that. No matter what I've done almost, it's just, you've got to be hanging three quarters off before the Senio starts saying, give over.
Yeah. I think last time we spoke, you, that's what you said to me about when I mentioned it as a pick. You said, oh, would you have to be quite accurate? And I said to you at the time that, you know, this comes from, you know, it's next to my bedside table, it's in my office. And it is pretty, you just don't even think about placement, you just put it down and it does the job. And for the price point, it's probably one of the lowest priced things on Amazon right now when it comes to Qi chargers. It's incredible. Why on earth is all these other companies charging you £50-70 for something that does the same job? And as I said, you can afford to have them in any room you are. Like, it's a fantastic company and a great product that's certainly proven to be valuable for me.
Excellent. I've just had a message from Andy Vaughan, and he said, we've still got the old server. Shall we put a Bitcoin thing at mine on it and just see if we can melt the CPU?
Forget it.
Do it.
No.
We have two new servers. We have two fantastic servers provided to us by TSO hosts, and we would be absolutely lost without them. They are speedy as hell. I've noticed, actually, we don't, when we upload the shows now, as soon as we click put the shows on, we used to get a real slowdown because everyone started downloading. It was automatic downloads of the shows. They don't do that anymore. They're whizzy. They're absolutely fast. When you upload stuff, it goes up. They're great. They're just fantastic. Please, please, please make sure you support tsohost.com because they are the people that keep us afloat as far as servers go. We would be lost without them. So make sure also that you send out a tweet this week, please. Dear at TSO host, thanks for supporting at British Tech because they're brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. We've had some nice shout outs this week, which have been lovely that we've included them as well as. And also say thank you to at Telestream, if you can bother, because they are the people that give us the wirecasting software that we're not using tonight because I'm about to stay at home and use Hangouts. But they're what normally makes us look slick as snot down at the studio. Thank you so much to them. And don't forget your Hoyer glasses. Go and check out podcast.hoyer.co.uk if you want to find out where you can get some cool glasses like the Unique ones I've got here or the Avantech ones, which I'm sporting this evening because I keep these at home now. The other ones are down at the studio. Right, time for the cool thing. Start us off, Adam.
Kicking things off, huh? I'm going to pick something, and there's a new version. I may have recommended this a long, long time ago in the past, but something that I often do is go to user group meetings or other meetings and need to present things from my iPhone or my iPad. And I still absolutely love and use all the time the Reflector app from Squirrels. So the new version is Reflector 3, and it's a little app. You just run it on your Mac, and then any iOS device will see that over the wireless connection in the AirPlay mirroring thing. So you can flip that up, turn on AirPlay, and broadcast that screen to your Mac. And so if your Mac is plugged into then a projector, everybody can see what's on your iPhone or iPad, and it'll support doing multiple devices at the same time. You can have all kinds of options to have frame around it or not frame, to adjust the sizing. You can set up a couple different layers of security. So if you want to make sure, you know, no one else in the room can connect to it, you can have it require a passcode that you need to type in before it connects and all that fun stuff. So handy little app. I want to say it's $20, somewhere in that range. Maybe a little bit cheaper. I don't remember. I've always just had it. And so if you need to do any, you know, if you need to show your iPhone or iPad screen on your Mac screen for a presentation or something like that, it is the app to use. So
$15, it says.
$15. There you go. It was somewhere in that range. $14.99. Great little handy app if you have the need.
Just very quickly, Adam, on the back of that, I've been running Windows 10 on my computer. I wanted to AirPlay it to my Apple TV, and AirParrot 2 was the only product that was stable and did it amazingly well. So by the same people, it's $13. If you ever have the unfortunate need to go from a Windows computer to an Apple TV, that's the product. $13. It's brilliant. Air Power.
Well, yeah, they make a big budget. Yeah, they make Squirrels makes a bunch of great stuff like that. I think they have some
solid other, as well.
Yeah.
Well, you need to, when you're going to, you know, show the public, you need to be stable. You know, you don't mind spending $13 on something that's going to absolutely rock.
Yeah, and I think now there's other ways to do it, like built in, but this has always just been handy and quick and fast and seems to always work. So I think you can do things with like QuickTime, and there's all kinds of hackarounds for this, but this one just makes it easy and it's cheap enough that just buy it, call it a day.
Excellent. Good pick. Thank you very much. Chuck, what do you have for us?
I'm going to go with an oldie but a goodie. For reasons that I'm not going to bother to bore everybody with, I've been having some fights with calendar apps at the office, and it makes me appreciate BusyCal all that much more. BusyCal improves on the built-in Apple Calendar with some subtle features. One of my favorites is the fact that I can snooze my alarms to not just a set time, but you know, I can snooze them any way I want. It's just so many nice little improvements. And the best thing is it just works. I mean, it's so easy to subscribe to other calendars from almost any other platform. It's one that you really should check out if you are looking maybe just to upgrade your calendar a little. And it also, if you are a SetApp subscriber, it's free on SetApp as well, or it's part of the SetApp collection. So you can try it out without having to actually purchase it. But I don't know about you guys, but I live in my calendar one way or another. And I'm finding out just how much of a pain some calendaring apps can be. And BusyCal is not one of those. So go check it out.
BusyCal is always a good choice.
Yeah.
Was that a bit of a dig there? Because I got the dates wrong and everything, and the time wrong.
No.
Oh.
No, that's just a genuine appreciation for fine software.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hang on. I've made a cock up of that. Have I? Where's it gone? Colloquy's disappeared. What have I done? Oh, no. Don't say I've closed.
You used the wrong app is what you've done.
No, I've closed it by mistake. James, what do you have for us, mate?
Okay, so this is a bit of it's an out there one because I went for this beta release in January, and I got accepted only 4 or 5 days ago. It's part of the NVIDIA GeForce Now beta. And essentially what it's going to do is you can go sign up online. I suggest you do it right now because it's this fantastic. And what you're going to be able to do is play games on your Mac for the first time ever. But here's the cool thing. It's kind of doing like a VPN thing. So what it does is NVIDIA have got this deal with Steam. Is that popular? Popular company who make games, distribute games, and also Uplay by Ubisoft. And what this GeForce Now does is you can quite literally run any of those games through the portal and play them with all ultra settings on a MacBook Air. It's that good. So for like even a $200 PC with this software, you're going to be able to have access to your whole Steam library and any games you bought from the Ubisoft Uplay thing. So I've done quite a lot of that. I've got some of the latest games on PC, and I also got something called Ghost Recon Warfare on Uplay, and it's absolutely seamless. Obviously, it's in beta, and obviously you're letting people in, but the fact that I have access to all of that stuff that I would normally boot into my Windows boot camp, Windows 10 to do, I'm now doing it on my Mac desktop. It's incredible. Obviously, you do need a good internet connection. They're obviously saying have a wired one, but I did run it on a wireless 5G connection, and it was pretty good, you know. I don't think I was too upset. I probably wouldn't do multiplayer gaming on a Wi-Fi 5G network, but I'd certainly do a wired one. So jump over to GeForce Now. It's a free beta. Request the beta access. And even if you're just not interested in it, but to download and see that technology working, it's kind of maybe looking at the future, really, that maybe we don't need to have a big rig on our desk. You know, there's like £1,000 graphics card. We can actually use somebody else's. I think that's quite a fun and exciting future, maybe. So, yeah, there is GeForce Now.
Did Microsoft just announce something like this, too, for like Xbox virtualized? They're doing it as well.
Yeah, well, I can see many people looking at this, because obviously this is obviously by NVIDIA, so anything that's maybe catered for AMD graphics cards obviously won't get a look-in or may not get a look-in. But the fact that NVIDIA managed to get Steam on board, because Steam are very, what's it with their clients, you know, they're very protective of their clients. So the fact it's only, the catalogue's about 200 games, so I dare say if you've bought a game on Steam or you've bought something with Ubisoft in the past 2 years, there'll be something in that catalogue for you to be able to pick up and download. So yeah, it's only going to get bigger, but the process in which they're generating it is absolutely fabulous. I mean, I think the entry is sort of 30 megabyte download, which is easily by most people these days, very accessible.
Yeah,
it's free, so why not?
Project X Cloud is what Microsoft announced like this week at their Ooh. Their event too. So it's a similar
Ooh.
Thing.
Ooh,
good pick, mate. Patrice, what have you got for us?
So I got an app for you. As I mentioned at the beginning, I went to yoga on Wednesday, and the app I used to find a yoga studio and book the appointment or register for it and all of that was an app called MindBody. It's a really well-designed app. I was kind of surprised. It looks like kind of a Yelp thing almost. As far as I know, the fitness studios or like the yoga studios and a lot of other things, they have to sign up for it. So I don't know how well or how good it is in other areas, but it's very, very, like, I would say, like, there are a lot of options here. And it allows you to search for whatever you want. Like, I want to play golf. I want to, like, go to yoga around me, like, 2 mile range or whatever. And it's free, so.
Cool.
You can't beat free. It's a really good app. It does some like integration with Fitbit and whatever. And like, it's not. I didn't find that very interesting, but the core functionality was very good.
Good one. I like that. Good stuff. Did I pick my phone case last week?
No. I don't think so.
So I got this phone case. I just recall that I read out this really long phone case compatible iPhone XS Max, phone case compatible XS Max, clear case cover shock absorbent with TFU full protective cover case compatible Apple iPhone. I just got a thing that I've read that out, but that's it. Sorry, it's a bit too close there. But the thing that's nice about this is it's like a soft, what's the stuff that you used to get that divers all went mad for in the 90s? That kind of tactile kind of feel to it. It's not neoprene. I don't know what I want to say.
No.
But a silicon case. But it's what's kind of nice is it's got a proud thing that sticks up point mm-hmm. or 2 millimeters above the front edge of your phone case. So if you drop it face down, it'll probably take the corner rather than land on the corner of the screen and send the screen off. But it was only a tenner, and it's still a rip-off. At that, I have to say, but it's less ripped off than the £40 one.
Than the $40 orange pink case you got.
Coral.
Oh, it's such a look. It's coral. Miles.
Right. Where can we get a hold of you, Adam?
Super easy, maccast.com or maccast on your favorite podcast app and maccast on social media.
Thanks for coming along, pal. Glad you remembered in the end. Chuck, where are you, buddy? Thank you so much for coming, mate, and sticking around.
Hey, it's always fun. I'm at Chuck Joyner on pretty much any social media, and you can find everything I do over at macvoices.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Mr. Rickards, thank you for letting me down.
I blame Will Green.
Have a night in with the kids.
I'll give you there next Friday, I promise. Yeah, you just get me on Twitter at James Rickards. And that's as simple as that.
All right. Brilliant. Thank you, mate. Patrice, where are you?
As always, every week here on The Mac Show and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. And... you can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. We've got the big show following on straight after this. I've got to sort out some food for the kids in the next 35 minutes. It'll be trouble. And then we're back on at 8 o'clock. So we'll see you then. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.